How would you like to think about, just for a few minutes, keep my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee, and keep my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Those first two devotional readings. If you don't have the book, some of you mentioned that to me, I'll get it for you tonight, all right? Please see me after meeting, so that if you want it, you can have it this evening and catch up. This is the way I was thinking about it just for this evening. I was thinking of a life that was consecrated to God. You can think of many of them in history. Of course, I was thinking in the Word of God, but the one that came to me is probably one of the most obvious ones. The Apostle Paul, when Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, why he was thinking that he was serving God. And of course, he wasn't. He was persecuting Jesus. He found that out when God spoke to him and the light shone down from heaven upon him. He found that out and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And that was a question that he never stopped asking. He wanted to know the Lord. And then, "What will you have me to do?" And that was something else that he continued to follow. "Lord, show me your way. I want to walk with you. I want to do your will. I want to serve you. I want to please you." That characterized his life. I have a poem about the Apostle Paul in that I mentioned Terstegen the other day, and in the book Hymns of Terstegen, you have a poem about the Apostle Paul. And the last verse, which we sing sometimes as one of our choruses, I didn't realize until a few years ago when I saw this that it applies so beautifully not just to us but to the Apostle Paul. And it says this: "I have seen the face of Jesus. Tell me not of aught beside. I have heard the voice of Jesus. All my soul is satisfied." Now, that's how it was with him. Right from the start, he did what God told him to do. You go into the city and you'll get further instructions. And the Lord touched him and healed his eyes and filled him with the Holy Ghost and called him to serve him and then revealed himself both in him and to him and gave him a message. Wonderfully, the way God worked in the Apostle Paul and used him mightily. But now it was years and years later, and he had it in his heart to go to Jerusalem. His missionary journeys, his three missionary journeys were passed, and he had it in his heart to go to Jerusalem. And different people said to him, "If you go to Jerusalem, things will not work out well for you." Well, here it is, Acts 20. He says, "And now compelled by the Spirit," Acts 20:22, "I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." This is the same Apostle Paul about whom we read, who wrote to the Philippians, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He had found that although life was filled with difficulties for him when he gave himself to serve God, that there was no joy like the joy in serving Jesus. He knew what it meant to sing when the day is bright and sing in the darkest night every day all the way. His life was consecrated to the Lord. Our sister Diane said, when you give your life to the Lord, when it's wholly His, you walk with Him, He takes care of you. And I don't know if the Apostle Paul would have said it exactly as she did. I don't know if he knew that term cool, but maybe if he were here today, he would have said that. And we read, I think this is, you have to admit that this is cool, that even when they told him by the Holy Spirit that prison and hardships are ahead of you, he said, I am compelled by the Spirit to go there and to complete the work that God has given me to do. It doesn't move me that difficulties are ahead. It doesn't move me because I want to finish my course with joy. It seems like a paradox. Prison and hardships are waiting you. I have to do it in order that I might finish my course with joy. I have to go there. Prison and hardships, that's what's going to make me really happy. Why? Because that's the way that God is leading me and compelling me to go. That is my joy. That is my joy, to do His will and to finish, to fulfill in my call. Take my life, keep my life. God kept him through all kinds of things. He kept him. You read the story, and I know you're familiar with it, won't go through. I could pick out certain things where he could have turned aside. There were places where people sought his life, and God miraculously spared his life to fulfill his words of promise to Paul. You're going to do this and that and testify before kings, and I'm going to use you. I mean, God kept him, and God blessed him and made him a blessing. And I think he's a great example for us. Oh, that we might also be compelled to trust and obey and be happy in Jesus and to follow all the way. And then take my moments and my days. I'm thinking of David, who said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalm 34. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Keep my heart, keep all my moments, keep my days, that they might flow in ceaseless praise. We read in the heading for Psalm 34 that it wasn't an easy time in his life. He was surrounded by men that had followed him, and he was teaching them. This Psalm 34 is a teaching psalm. Later on, down in the chapter, he says, come, my children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And he had gotten his men together, apparently, and he had, remember how they had come to him? People that weren't the best people in society. And they had come, though, to follow him. Some of them were being looked for. The law was after them. But they joined themselves to David. And he was a leader of a group of men. And he was fleeing for his life. He had those who sought his life. But right there, he was blessing the Lord. He was praising the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I remember when we came to this one first period, we used another one of David's Psalms, Psalm 16, where he said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And we know that that psalm is a prophetic psalm. It has to do with the Lord Jesus, who in his earthly life and ministry did exactly the same thing. I have set the Lord always before me. He placed himself in utter dependence upon his Father, so much so that when he was here, his testimony was that he did nothing apart from the Father's commandment. He said nothing apart from the Father's commandment. He listened to know what to say and what to do. He did that every day. Our Savior, the Son of Man, functioned, shall we say, that way. Why did he do that? He placed himself in a place of total dependence upon the guiding voice, direction of his Father, which he sought earnestly every day. We read that in the prophet Isaiah. He wakens me morning by morning so that I might hear, so that I might know what I ought to say, how to say it, when to say it. I want to speak a word that is in season to him that is weary. That was our Savior. He showed us that. He did that to teach us how to live, I'm sure. How to live. And how to follow. He expects us to live trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts and obeying his word, seeking for guidance and following on. And so I have set the Lord always before me was the testimony of our Savior and also of King David. Take my moments and my days. Let me live for you. Keep me living before you. I have set the Lord always before me. I remember saying, because I had read somewhere, that it sounds as though you take the Lord and you put him right here in front of you. Of course, it means nothing like that at all. It means that we place ourselves in that position where we are before him. And as we do that, he will lead and guide us and keep us all for him. And that's what I wanted to say tonight. And let's sing together. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. And that's found in our hymn books number 350. 350.
All my Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So enchained by spirit vision, looking at the crucified.
So thankful. Oh, hallelujah. Once we were dead in sins, now alive unto God. Hallelujah. Once we were darkness, now light in the Lord. Oh, once, Lord, we were sinful and unholy, but you were made sin for us because we are loved with everlasting love, and we are made the righteousness of God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we belong to you as we've just sung. Oh, what wonder, how amazing, Jesus, glorious King of Kings, deigns to call me his beloved. Let's me rest beneath his wings. Oh, your heart is open to us. Our hearts were once fast closed to you, but because your heart is open to us and you wanted us for yourself, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this miracle of reconciliation, this miracle of divine love. We thank you, Lord, that we belong to you now, and we want to just be all for you as we have sung, all my days, all my hours. We started this night with look full in his wonderful face. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, that sight is open to us. We can't thank you enough, Lord. We thank you with all of our hearts that you have come to us, that you have blessed us, that you have welcomed us into your heart, that our lives might be consecrated to you, Lord, is our earnest desire. And we're so thankful that you have made this life in God possible for us. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight and commit ourselves to you as we go our ways. Lord, help us to go in your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Walking with you, under your hand of protection, your continued working in us. Thank you for the fullness of joy that we experience in knowing you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The Lord bless you all. Hallelujah.